AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Brett Johnson with you here. Well, as part of our series we're doing here on AM 950, every few weeks or so, we visit with someone from MJSB Employment Justice. They are a firm that helps advocate for employees who may be experiencing employee misconduct or employer misconduct and other issues at the workplace. Again, MJSB Employment Justice. Your website is mjsbjustice.com. Today we're joined by Bree Johnson. She is the managing partner at MJSB Employment Justice, as we are going to be talking about how August is National Breastfeeding Month. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but in Minnesota, we have some important protections for new mothers that they get to have and that they need at the workplace that we're going to be chatting with Bree about today. Bree, thanks so much for joining me on the show. Good to have you on.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So before we dive into our topic, I want to get a little bit more information about your background and how you started MJSB Employment Justice, because you took kind of a unique path where you spent a little over a decade working in the corporate world for a number of big firms. But then a few years ago, you decided to start MJSB Employment Justice. So walk us through that journey for how you ended up working for some of these big firms and then deciding just a little over 2 years ago that you were going to go out on your own and start your own firm.
Absolutely. Yeah, I call that my life pivot. But I graduated law school 2009, kind of height of recession, and I had a background in print journalism, actually, in writing, and so went to Thomson Reuters for a few years and really found a passion on the business side, using data to make decisions, and from there then migrated over to law firms and worked on the business side of law firms, doing things in pricing, profitability, legal project management, right as those kind of niche practices on the business side were coming to fruition in large law firms. Did that for about 10 years, worked at three great firms in the Twin Cities, and then had my life pivot and decided I really wanted to utilize my law degree in a different way and to practice law, and in particular wanted to represent employees who've been harmed in the workplace by discrimination, sexual harassment, sexual assault. Just had a kind of a passion project in this area and wanted to do more of that work. So in 2020, started a solo practice, and more recently was joined by three outstanding employment attorneys who have many years of experience themselves, and now we are MJSB Employment Justice.
And bringing in that corporate background certainly has to help as well when you're advocating for employees, because as I imagine, you sometimes have to work with firms that are big or large, or employers that are big and large, and your experience certainly helps, and I'm sure with your colleagues as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, both from the sort of managing our law firm side, I'm able to bring all that experience forward, but absolutely bringing that to bear on our cases, evaluating data, evaluating the documents that we receive with kind of a business mind has helped a lot.
So let's talk about now how August is National Breastfeeding Month. I had no idea that August was National Breastfeeding Month, but it's actually very important because we have a number of protections in Minnesota which are kind of unique to our state, and some of these are rather recent. Can you walk us through what employers are required to do to accommodate new mothers?
Yes, absolutely. And it's really a burgeoning area of law. And I think there's expanded protections for a number of reasons, but certainly the advocacy has really erupted in this area for working moms. And it's of particular importance in Minnesota because we have the second highest rate of working moms in the country. And so when we talk about the protections, we have a lot of working mothers, myself included. I had two young boys and breastfed and pumped. Actually, I was exclusively pumping my second. And so this is a topic both near and dear to my heart and also really proud of the protections that are coming forward in Minnesota. So the most recent protections for nursing mothers expanded actually as of January 1st, 2022, so the first of this year, and it requires employers of a certain size to provide reasonable break times. And why that is so important and really a distinction from previous protections is it's multiple breaks. And this becomes really important for new mothers. And I should also add, it does not specify a length of those break times. So previously, those were unpaid. Now they must be compensated. Compensation cannot be reduced for these breaks. And it's important because the the duration of a pumping time, the frequency of a pumping time varies dramatically week to week, month to month for mothers, pregnancy and kind of birth and child. There's so many factors that go into a mother's ability to express milk and what that looks like. And so this is really important because it expands protections. It requires these the compensation not to be reduced for these multiple break times. And so that's kind of point one is the breaks. And the second piece is a reasonable room that is not a bathroom or a toilet stall. And so I think that's important because it's an afterthought, right? And certainly for workplaces that are male dominated, oftentimes it's not even, in some cases it may be intentional, but in other times it's not intentional. It's just, you know, here's a space for you, kind of tucked away. Bathroom stall, can't you just do it in there? You know, those types of comments are made. But this, the protections now require reasonably efforts to be made to provide a dedicated space, provide a room shielded from view, free from intrusion. So you don't have those coworkers knocking, banging on the door, trying to get in, and access to an electrical outlet, so that a mother is able to pump kind of free from, with privacy, I should say.
Well, the state of Minnesota has lined up basically four components that help support women and breastfeeding in the workplace, which can be summed up with the acronym STEP. One is called support from supervisors, colleagues, and the employer. Another is time, which has to do, well, leaving after birth and a flexible scheduling to accommodate lactation breaks during the work time. Also, education and place. And I imagine that education component has to be a big part because, as you were mentioning, employees or employers might think and say, all right, well, we'll give new mothers certainly time to do what they need to do, but they can just do it in the bathroom or something like that. And a lot of the cases might just be them not quite knowing what the requirements are. So I imagine education is a big component that sometimes gets missed in the workplace.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's an important piece about education that's just sort of generally required. And this, you know, is not on the nursing mother to do the education, but I think it's sort of a society or a cultural education that's been occurring for the past 20, 30 years, because really the advent of breast pumps, I think it cropped up in the 90s based on research I did. And so, yes, 30 years old, but you have sort of coinciding with the advent of breast pumps, many more women entering the workforce and this becoming a very real issue and something very important that enables working moms to return to the workplace and to do so in a way that is supportive to her family's needs and her child's needs. So education is certainly important kind of from the big picture. But within that employer-employee ecosystem, you know, the employee, so the working mother as she returns, if she finds that the place is not conducive to what she needs, maybe there's not an electrical outlet, there's certainly going to be that back and forth required. And, you know, the request to be made by the employee to the employer sometimes to identify a better space that works and to make sure that she is securing a right to those break times. There are some protections for, or not protections, but there's questions about, you know, the burden on the employer. But what an employer cannot do is just outright say, no, you cannot have those breaks. There's kind of an interactive process that needs to occur for them to be able to demonstrate that reasonable effort has been made both in providing the time and the space, the physical space to express the milk. And so that is part of the education process as well.
So what are some of the common ways that employers might miss following the law, either intentionally or just lacking education on what they need to do? What do you normally run into in your experience?
Yeah, I'd say in my experience, especially with the change in the law as of January 1 of this year, the most common is just going to be not to be providing multiple break times. For an employer to say, no, this isn't going to work for me. This doesn't fit with our schedule. You already get a lunch break. Can't you just use that lunch break? And the answer under the law is no. The break times can run concurrently, but they can also be in addition to. So it is providing a lot of flexibility to the working mom, working parent, working mom returning to the workplace. So I'd say that's kind of the number one thing. Another common sort of violation of the law would be not providing it for the full 12 months after the working parent. You know, maybe an assumption that 6 months should be sufficient, or by 9 months, do we still have to be having this conversation about you needing breast time to express breast milk. And so I'd say that would be another one. And then the third is really around that room, providing that dedicated room that is not a bathroom is probably the third most common kind of infraction we see around that.
So what kind of clients do you represent? Or I guess another way to word that, how far along in a workplace dispute are they normally? Is this someone who is coming in right away the second they notice a problem? Or is this something where they've been trying to go on and on, where they've been working with their employer but have not been able to get accommodation? So talk us a little bit about what kind of clients you represent in these types of cases.
Sure. Yeah, we would love to be talking to clients kind of earlier in the process. And so I think especially with the newness of this law, there is some of that education. And so as an employee is trying to navigate, well, I know, you know, these are my rights to get break times, but they're saying, no, what do I do? We would love to have those conversations at that point. In those situations, we do recommend that an employee put the request in writing so that there's kind of record that they have requested as the new statute provides, either breaks or that room. Put it in writing to your employer, and we can help counsel an employee at that stage. But honestly, the typical point at which we get involved is after an employee has asserted, in this situation, has asserted her rights, has said, you know, I really need these break times, and the employer says no, and she's sort of either in this predicament where she feels like she needs to quit because it's so important to her and she's experiencing such duress over not being able to take the breaks or have that space to pump as needed, or sometimes where she has made these requests, the employer says no, and then the employer actually begins to retaliate or ends in termination, so terminates her in retaliation for her requesting these statutorily provided protections. So we typically get involved much later in the process, but we're happy to have conversations very early in the process. If anyone has questions about their rights under this law, absolutely happy to work with employees and help guide them through this.
So what recommendations would you give to new mothers who were at the workplace in terms of some of the rights that they might be missing, where let's say they're at the workplace and they run into that situation where the employer might say, oh, we'll just do it on your break. You know, yeah. We don't necessarily want to pay you during this break. What recommendations would you give to new mothers to make sure that they're prepared to make sure that they get the accommodations that are afforded to them under the law?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our recommendation is to have a conversation initially. So when we're talking about large employers, there's typically an HR function of some sort. Even when you think of some of the hospitality or restaurant industries, there's usually some sort of a documented process where if you have an issue or if you're experiencing something in your workplace, there's kind of this process that you follow, typically an HR channel, someone who's a mandatory reporter, somebody who wears that kind of human resources hat. We recommend then that the employee have a conversation or send an email, again, preferably in writing, but to say, hey, there is this statute, the Nursing Mother Statute in Minnesota, and it provides that I am to be afforded reasonable break times each day. That isn't happening. You know, what can we do to remedy this situation? And our recommendation is we sort of approach it in a collaborative process by not sort of hammer, you must do this. You know, that allows that conversation initially because, as we've previously alluded to, so much of this is about education. And so there's that piece. But sometimes it can get contentious and by no fault of the employees. And so when then, if the answer comes back and it's no, if they, you know, the employer just ignores them, that's kind of a point where we typically recommend it'd be great to engage with a firm like ours. Just reach out, consultation, you know, hey, this is what's happened. What do I do next? Because then maybe we recommend that the employee make a report where they state, hey, you know, there is a violation of the Nursing Mother Statute. I have made repeated requests to collaboratively work through this and identify break times or provide that space. It hasn't happened yet. And so that we're sort of documenting and laying the groundwork for that. And then obviously if that employee does experience retaliation following that, that's certainly another trigger point to reach out to an attorney.
And if an employee is experiencing issues at work in terms of not being able to get the protections that are afforded them under the law, as you said, the most important thing you can do if you're unsure of what to do next is make sure you reach out to someone, well, like you guys over at MJSB Employment Justice, correct?
Yeah, it's kind of the adage, right? There's no question is a bad or there aren't any bad questions because in this area, again, it's new in some ways, but there's a lot of education and we don't want an employee to ever feel that her hands are really tied in the workplace. So reach out and ask. And we're happy to guide and to help counsel in these situations.
And final question for you, but how do our protections in Minnesota compare to other states or even the federal level?
Yeah, they're Minnesota's are far more expansive than the federal protections. And without having done a full survey, I think we're really leading in this area. Minnesota has done an outstanding job acknowledging all of the benefits of breastfeeding, and then for working moms, of pumping in the workplace. Employees miss work less often. It lowers overall health care costs. There's all these kind of known benefits of it, and Minnesota is doing a wonderful job providing protections and expanding protections for working mothers.
Again, we're joined by Bree Johnson. She is the managing partner at MJSB Employment Justice. Website is mjsbjustice.com. Now, Bree, one more topic I wanted to talk with you about, and this is something we were chatting about off air, is this idea of lactation retaliation, something I have not heard much about before. So I'd like you to tell us a little bit more about this, because as we were talking about off air, this is something we've been seeing more and more of in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I think it's a really interesting intersection. So just like our traditional discrimination laws, so if someone reports discrimination in the workplace and the employee retaliates, meaning terminates, demotes, takes away hours, reduces pay, those types of adverse employment actions, that is a form of retaliation. And so there's case law, and when we are able to tie that those adverse employment actions back to a protected report of discrimination, there's active litigation that we can bring. And so there's this kind of burgeoning lactation litigation. So anytime we see expanded protections for employees, typically we also begin to see expanded litigation in these areas, and that's true in this lactation protection space. So lactation litigation has increased. A recent study said 800% increase in lawsuits regarding these lactation laws, because as these protections are expanded, so is the litigation.
800% increase. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is something we're going to be seeing more and more of. And oftentimes this is just an employer retaliating against an employee for making these types of accommodations, correct?
Yep, exactly. For making these requests to have what is, you know, provided under statute, but if the employer doesn't know what they're doing, doesn't believe the law, or doesn't think they have to follow the law, they may just say no to reasonable break times. They may not provide that space, and they may also retaliate against the employee just for asking about that. Take away hours, take away pay, demote them, and maybe even terminate. Say, I don't want to, you know, you're too noisy. I don't want to deal with you. Too much of a hassle. And that's absolutely ripe for litigation and for a cause of action for that employee.
And of course, at that point, you would want to reach out to MJSB Employment Justice to make sure you have an advocate on your side.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as we previously talked about, you know, we are happy to help at any stage of the process. But certainly if something arises to that level where an employee is terminated, you know, give us a call. We really want to help the employee in those cases.
Well, I've been speaking with Bree Johnson. She is the managing partner at MJSB Employment Justice. Their website is MJSBjustice.com. As today we were talking about how August is National Breastfeeding Month, and new mothers in Minnesota are afforded some new protections when it comes to breastfeeding at the workplace. Again, make sure you go to MJSBjustice.com. Bree, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's take a break and send things back over to Matt McNeil on AM 950.